Welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock, and 106.1 BLI, Long Island's number one for all the hits. Plugged Into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area issues. It's heard Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plugged Into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group of Long Island's Community Affairs team right here at our studios in West Babylon. I'm Alex, your host for today's episode. Let me introduce our guest for today, Paul Rubin, Executive Director of Camp Good Morning. Thanks so much for joining me here today, Paul.
You bet. Thank you.
So let's get started with what exactly is Camp Good Morning and when was it founded? When was it started?
So Camp Good Morning is a 501c3 nonprofit that provides free, absolutely free, bereavement camp programs for Long Island children who are coping with the death of a parent or sibling. We'll also allow, not allow, but we also encourage people who have family members who have died within the primary household. So it may not be a parent, it may not be a sibling, it could be another family member. So anyone who essentially who lives in the primary household who dies, that child who lives in that household is eligible to attend Camp Good Morning. We formed back in 2018, it seems like it's so long ago. 2018 we formed, but our first camp did not start until the year of COVID. We were supposed to launch in 2020, in June of 2020, and March, and I believe COVID occurred in March, and we had to reimagine what camp could be because of everything that was going on. So instead of making it an in-person camp, we decided to make it a virtual camp simply because we didn't want to not provide something for the campers. We wanted to provide absolutely something that would be beneficial for them, even though it could not be in person.
And you use that term bereavement camp. So essentially, Camp Good Morning is kind of just a camp to help deal with grief that these children are facing, right?
That's right. So essentially, we are a camp just like any other camp that anyone might have attended when they were kids. The big difference is that we include support groups within that weekend. So our camp is from a Friday afternoon to a Sunday afternoon, and we hold all the typical activities that might occur during any typical camp. That would include basketball, arts and crafts, volleyball. There are so many different things. We have a big bonfire. We make s'mores. So we have all the same things that any camp might have. The big thing is that we add support groups, and these support groups happen over the weekend four times. They occur once on Friday, twice on Saturday, and once on Sunday. And each of those support groups deal with different topics. So, for example, the first support group, when kids come, we'll do some icebreakers before we get into our groups so that the kids get to know each other, because we don't want them to come into a situation where all of a sudden, you know, they have to start talking about something that's so personal. So we do very silly icebreakers. And once we do that as a big group, then we split up into our age groups. And what we'll do when we enter into that first support group is we'll do some typical icebreaker activities. And then we'll start getting into some of the more, grief-oriented things. And so, as I had mentioned in that first support group, what we'll do is we will ask or give the kids an opportunity to share their grief story. And what that means is they can share any part of what happened to their person. And that means they can tell us from the beginning to the very, very end. It's really up to them. We don't force them to share with us. It's up to them as to what they would like to share with us. And then in the second support group, which happens on Saturday morning, that one's all about identifying and exploring their feelings. And we do that through different modalities. It could be just through typical talk. It could be through an arts and crafts activity. It could be through journaling. But the point is that we want to give those kids an opportunity to talk about things, to talk about feelings that they don't normally talk about.
And for at least 2024, you guys were based out of Camp Quinnipet. At least that's where the camps were hosted, right? That's on Shelter Island?
That's correct. So what we did was in 2024, we moved to Shelter Island, which is can accommodate a lot more campers than previously.
And will that also be the case for this year? Will you be back at Camp Quinnipet?
Yes, we will, for the entire year. So both camps, which occur in the spring and the fall, will both be at Camp Quinnipet.
And I was just about to ask, actually, how often are these camps hosted? You have two camps per year, right, in the spring and in the fall?
Yeah, that's right. So we hold them twice in the spring and the fall, but we also have different events and different activities that occur throughout the year, giving the kids an opportunity to come back together, because it's not so much about what happens at the camps. It's also about bringing the kids back together, keeping them connected, because essentially before they come to Camp Good Morning, typically they don't know another child who is just like them. They don't know anybody else who's going through the death of a parent or sibling.
And these kids, how old are they? Are we talking about toddlers here, teenagers, somewhere in between?
So the kids can be anywhere from typically from 7 to 17. We do allow 6.5-year-olds if they're appropriate for a 7 to 8-year-old support group, and will also allow give or at least give the opportunity for kids who are 18 who have never been to a bereavement camp or who have never received any sort of bereavement support.
And a stat that I saw that you had listed on your website that I thought was very interesting was that 1 in 12 Americans experience a death of a sibling or a parent by age 18. Why isn't grief like this talked about more often? I feel like that's such a large statistic for something that, like I said, doesn't feel like it's being talked about enough.
You're exactly right. And we feel the same exact way. Why isn't talked about? I think the reasons that it's not talked about is because, one, people are not comfortable talking about death. It depends. When it comes to children, sometimes, you know, the surviving parent is not comfortable talking about it. Sometimes the child sees that the surviving parent start to cry, so they think that they're making their parent cry, when typically they're not making the parent cry. The parent is just upset because their spouse, their partner, has also died, and they're also grieving. Sometimes children are just not comfortable talking with specific adults, so they just don't talk. And that's why, you know, we go into schools and provide a training so that the schools know how to talk about death, what not to say, what to say. But you're absolutely right. It's just not talked enough and about enough.
And again, if you're just tuning in here to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI, Alex here speaking with Paul Rubin, Executive Director of Camp Good Morning. And I feel like such an integral part of camps, of summer camps at least, is the people who make up the camp, the people who are working it, the people who volunteered their time for these camps. Do you guys accept volunteers as well?
Yes, absolutely, all the time. And typically, they're people from all walks of life. There's a very, I guess, there's an in-place volunteer application, which includes not only the application, but then an interview, then training, and then background check. So in order to become a Camp Good Morning, we call them team members. Not that volunteers is a bad name, but sometimes it can have a stigma. Sometimes, you know, volunteers feel like, well, they can just come and go. But one of the first things that we share with volunteers, especially at the training, is that for the time that they're with us, is to, like, we expect them to treat it like a job, because we're dealing with very vulnerable children. And if we don't show up for the children, then that can be a secondary loss for them. So, I just wanted to share that with you.
And if somebody wanted to become a team member with Camp Good Morning, how would that process go about? Where can they go to learn more and to get the process started?
So they can simply go to our website, which is campgoodmorning.org, and they can complete an online application. And then, as I explained, we just go through the process. You know, hopefully, you know, we get to all work together, which is what our goal is. Last camp, we had a 73% return team member rate, which is that's a record-setting percentage for us. And also, it exceeds the national average, which is around 65%. So it really says, what it really says is that, you know, people who come to attend and become a team member are really enjoying their experience and they want to come back. So we're really proud of that.
And to get that process started, like you said, you can visit campgoodmorning.org. And on that website as well, is there a way for people to donate directly to Camp Good Morning?
Absolutely. On the bottom of each page, every page that they're on, there's a little button where they can donate. They can also just reach out directly to us if they just wanted to know a little bit more information about the organization. Mm-hmm.
And what effect have you seen on the kids who have been a part of Camp Good Morning, whether they're a team member or one of the kids just being a part of the camp? How has it changed them, you know? What are some possibly personal experience you've seen of this camp doing some real good?
The biggest things that that we see is, you know, sometimes kids are not, as you can imagine, they're really worried. They're scared when they first come to camp because they really don't know what to expect. And some of them even, you know, Quite honestly, they come in kicking and screaming, not literally, but, you know, they're just not feeling very, very comfortable, and they make sure that their parent or caregiver knows that. So what we like to say is that, you know, kids will come to Camp Good Morning kicking and screaming. And when they leave Camp Good Morning, they go kicking and screaming that they don't want to go home. So that's really the biggest thing that we can say, to attest that we're doing a really good job. And not only that, but also because they're attending the in-between activities and events. So as I had mentioned, we only run camp twice a year, but, you know, we'll have we'll go to a Long Island Ducks game and we'll reach out to the parents and the children. And, you know, we usually have a great attendance for that. We just recently had a shopping event at Macy's, and literally, you know, 99% of the kids attended. The only person that could not attend is because they were not in the state. So it really just demonstrates that kids are really appreciating it. And what they usually say is that, you know, this is the only place where they can meet someone who's just like them, because typically they don't know anybody else like them. And that helps them to feel more comfortable.
And again, if you're just tuning in here, it's Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. Alex here speaking with Paul Rubin, Executive Director of Camp Good Morning. And on February 2nd, you guys are set to host your 5th annual Team Chicken Wing Eating Challenge. When and where is this happening?
So this is just most popular event that people attend. So this is happening again Sunday, February 2nd at the Huntington Lodge in Green Lawn. And it's just a blast. You know, imagine the Nathan's hot dog event, you know, hot dog eating event, but it's much smaller scale because it's not outdoors, but it's in this great hall. And we have people from all walks of life. There's a children's division, there's an adults division. We give out trophies. It's just a great event, and people bring their big fan clubs. There's a lot of rooting going on. It's just a great opportunity to come back together. And that's what I was talking about before, is the opportunity to bring kids back together, not necessarily to do grief stuff, but to just have fun, but also to see each other. So it's just a great event.
Mm-hmm. And part of BLI and BAB, we were at that eating contest last year. And let me tell you, I like my chicken wings, but some of the folks there, they smoked me. They smoked me with how they were eating chicken wings. It was incredible. And last year, you guys raised $20,000, which is just incredible. Where does this money that you guys raised during this challenge go to?
The money goes to supporting the Camp Good Morning mission, which is all about providing the free bereavement camps that we talk about. So it gives them the opportunity to attend these camps. It gives us money to go out and get the different supplies. So it's really anything that has to do with Camp Good Morning, that's where the money goes to. It does not go out to other organizations or, you know, other entities. It stays in-house.
And why choose a wing-eating competition to raise money to begin with?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I'll ask you, you know, what did you have fun? You know, that's really what it's all about. Mm-hmm. It's about people coming together and just having fun and having a good time. And, you know, when it was brought up 5 years ago, and I was just thinking, why do people not do more of this? It's just a hoot. And
a hoot and a holler.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you saw, it's just people coming together and having a great time. And what more can you ask for? Well, you know, it's just a great experience. And to raise $20,000 on chicken wings, you know, what more do we need to say? You know, I think it's just a great opportunity. And we have incredible sponsors and donors. You know, every single wing that we supply our wing eaters is donated. And we could not be more grateful for all of those organizations, all those businesses, you know, that do that for us, like Miller's Ale House and Hooters and Zorn's. And, you know, the list goes on and on. There's a new deli. There's a new sandwich deli in Plainview. So, you know, it's just people are coming together for a great cause. They give for a great cause. And it's the children who benefit. And that's what it's all about. It's all about the kids.
So say you are a wing aficionado and you want to sign up for this challenge. Do you need to have a team already? Can you go in single? How does someone sign up?
So it's really simple. It's good to have a team, and the teams are only teams of two. And so it's always pretty easy to find a friend who loves wings. Mm-hmm. So it's just about, you know, finding that friend, and they simply go to campgoodmorning.org/events, and that'll bring them to a page, and they'll click another button, and they'll be right on that platform page that takes care of all of the fundraising stuff. And that's as easy as it is. The big thing that we ask is that because it, you know, we are raising funds for Camp Good Morning, that, you know, there's a small registration fee. And then we ask that each person go out and get four other people to support them. And that's the smallest fee is $25. The smallest sponsorship is to come in at $25. If they can't afford that, we understand that. You know, it's to just give what you can. And it's simply a very, very simple way to have a good time, to know that you're helping children who are coping with the death of a parent. And again, just to have a great time.
Mm-hmm. And so just to make sure that I've got my facts straight, the goal is for each person who's going to be a wing eater, they register. That's about $35 per registry, right?
That's correct.
And then each of those people have ideally at least four pledges, each pledge pledging $25 per wing eater, correct?
You said it much better than me.
And something that definitely caught my eye last year, now I didn't win any, which – very sad on my part, but there are awards for those who are participating. What are these awards?
Yeah, we make a big thing of this. I mean, this is, again, it's just a lot of fun, and we love people to have fun because when they have fun, they want to come back. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we provide trophies for not only most wings eaten, but also for most money raised, both for the individual and as a team. So we do that for both divisions because there's a kids division, which is 17 and under, and then an adult division, which is 18 and over. So I think we give out like 8 trophies over the event. And again, you know, we'll take pictures. You know, you can hear the people in the background cheering. Again, as someone who was there and saw it, you know what it's all about, and it's just a fun time, and people take a lot of pride in eating their wings.
Mm-hmm. And while wing eating is a ton of fun, there are some other things to do at the event, right? There's going to be some raffles, I believe.
Yes. So there's always a 50-50 raffle. There'll be raffle baskets. We're working on getting a face painter. We might even have some some Jenga, so giant Jenga and giant Connect Four going on. It's to give the kids an opportunity to come back together, but also the adults can come and have fun as well. So there's something for everyone, literally.
Mm-hmm. And those raffle baskets, are there any notable raffle baskets? Maybe some people should be keeping an eye out, maybe to kind of get some excitement going on what might some people be able to raffle for?
Yeah. So for sports fans, there's some autographed, signed autographed photographs as well from, I'm trying to remember, I believe it's Jets and Giants autographs. We also have an autographed football from all Giant players for, and it's a collectible. We also have, or giving away, for the School of Rock. They're providing lessons at the School of Rock. We have something from SUSE, which is in Hophog, a free week of camp. We also have something from, I think it's East Premier Sports, which is also in Hophog. And they're giving away an opportunity for, it's a month of working out with unlimited sessions that you can attend. So there's a lot of great opportunities that people can come down. And it's not just about sports. We have a Kendra Scott necklace. We have a lot of gift cards. We have gift cards that will make up the Tastes of Long Island, not only one for the North Shore and one for the South Shore. So there's, you know, different types of raffles for anybody who comes down.
And once again, all of this is happening February 2nd. It is the 5th annual Team Chicken Wing Eating Challenge. That's at the Lodge, Huntington Moose 318 at 1:30 p.m. And before we wrap up here today, where can people reach you on either Instagram, Facebook? Of course, you guys have your website, campgoodmorning.org. And if somebody wanted to get their family member into the camp, what is the process of going about that?
So our handles at Instagram, or our handle at Instagram, is at Camp Good Morning LI, as in Long Island. At Facebook, it's at Camp Good Morning, and it's MOURNING. Same thing with our website, campgoodmorning.org, MOURNING.org. If they wanted to get in touch with us, not necessarily through those, through social media, but if they wanted to reach out, they can simply reach out to me at paul.campgoodmorning@gmail.com.
And once again, campgoodmorning.org, where all that information is listed, either for the actual camp or the chicken wing eating challenge. Paul, I'd like to thank you for joining me here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Hope to see you again this year.
Both WBAB and BLI are planning to be there, so the chances are high. And this has been Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock, and 106.1 BLI, Long Island's number one for all the hits. Plugged Into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area issues. It airs Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plugged Into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group of Long Island's Community Affairs team right here at our studios on Long Island.